ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Welcome back to ShareCare Radio. This is Dr. Daria. Okay, now y'all may travel, but I don't think you travel like these two ladies, my next guests, Regina and Pat. They're otherwise known as Grannies on Safari. They reinvented themselves to live out their dream of hosting their own travel show. They're going to give us a little dose of their own travel fever today. Regina, Pat, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting us. We're happy to be here, too.
Oh, good, good, good. I want to just jump in. You know, what gave the idea for Grannies on Safari and the show?
Well, you know what? This is Regina. I retired from working at United Airlines and traveling for years. And Pat was a friend of mine. I knew her for 30 years. She doesn't remember me 30 years back. But, you know, I did know her recently. And I came up with the idea of why don't we just go around the world and really investigate art, culture, things that are happening in places, one, that I'd never been to. And two, I knew Pat had been everywhere, and I liked her, so I actually pulled her away, kicking and screaming from being the head of a new museum in San Francisco, saying, "You got to do this with me." And
one can't say no. One can't say no to Regina.
Yes. Okay, you're good.
That was the bottom line. You can't
say
no.
She had the pull,
right.
And she had a good argument.
Yeah, I did. The argument is: first of all, we are actually grandmothers. And second of all, we really do like other cultures. What do you call us, Pat? Citizens of ambassadors?
Citizens of the world.
Oh.
I think that's what I always aspired to be, starting as a teenager when I took my first trip abroad. And I thought, wow, you know, there are ambassadors from the United States. But I had never really heard of cultural ambassadors. And I thought, wow, that would be a wonderful job to do. Mm-hmm. And so I've kept it in the back of my mind for years. And I think Regina also had thought in those terms as well.
And plus, you know, we are women of color. And frankly, you don't see a lot of women of color doing adventure travel, especially older women of color. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I don't think we're old. But we thought, why not be not only role models for all women, but women of color, too, and say, just because you're a senior or a little older, it doesn't mean you don't have adventures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we did it.
I love it.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, I have a deep interest in exploring different cultures in the world, mm-hmm. finding how people live, how they create, and what their cities and what their country towns are like. And I've always had that interest. I mean, as I said, my first trip abroad was at 17, and I've been basically traveling ever since, one way or the other, sometimes just avocational and mm-hmm. other times relating to the work that I do. And I've been in the museum world and the cultural world for, oh, God, more years than I really care to talk about. But I've always been intrigued by the lessons I can learn, the sights that I can see, and the people that I get a chance to meet from all walks of life.
Yeah, I think that must be one of the most fascinating things. And so just quickly for our guests, you know, what is the show? Is it usually going to a specific country, or what is a given episode?
An episode is that, yes, we go to a particular country, and we've really concentrated on international destinations for the last 10 years. Do you realize we've been doing this for 10 years?
Yeah.
I think that's a long time. But we do concentrate on international destinations, and actually ones that a lot of people don't go to. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't concentrate and don't go to Europe very much. We've only done a couple of shows in Europe, but we've done things like Zanzibar. You know, we're into the exotic places. Places like even Seoul, Korea, places
six
like
continents,
Uruguay.
Six continents we've done.
Six continents,
We haven't made it to Antarctica yet.
I'm not going to Antarctica, Pat. I'm not going.
And y'all live in Chicago, but I think even Antarctica is going to be a tad bit colder than that. So
I think so.
Yes.
A little bit. Okay, well, let's talk about, for your other trips aside from Antarctica, let's talk about preparing for these trips. What are some tips for how you prepare for a great big trip like that?
Well, I think for Regina, she want to go on.
No, go ahead, Pat.
Oh, well, there are a number of things to do. Obviously, the first step is deciding where to go. Mm-hmm. What is the reason for going there, and what do we expect to see and do and meet, et cetera. And we've been very fortunate over the last 10 years to work with the tourism offices of a lot of countries in the world who have helped guide us after we've made a selection of a place. Mm-hmm. Or there are times when we've been offered invitations to visit places in the world that we might not have thought about. So planning the trip is one major aspect of it. Regina, what's another one?
No, I want to talk about the planning for the trip. Can I just talk about that? Some of the things that we do besides the destination things that Pat talks about is, one, can we get around in that place? Is it safe? Because there are a lot of places that you say, well, I'd like to go there, but you don't want to get hit over the head. So you have to do some research. One of the things we do is go to the State Department's website, and they've got a wonderful program there, too, called the STEP program, Safe Travelers Program, where you register with the State Department so they know where you are. And I won't even go into that whole story about us being stuck in the Egyptian Revolution the day it started. And if we'd been with the STEP program, it would have been great. So that's one thing. The other thing is we also look at the health things that are taking place over there, you know, at a particular country. Do you really want to go because they have a, you know, a problem or epidemic of dengue fever? Probably not. I like to climb mountains and ride animals. Pat, is that's not Pat's thing. Is the whole trip going to be climbing mountains like we did a lot in Machu Picchu? I mean, what physically are the things that we're going to be doing, and can we do them?
Okay. Now, so, you mentioned, just, I want to touch base really quickly. You mentioned the health. What sites do you go to find out what the health risks are? Do you go to the CDC, or what do you recommend for that?
Well, we are in Chicago, so we utilize the resources that are here in that planning stage. And we use the Northwestern University travel office there, where you can get information on destinations all over the world, get the necessary shots that are required, and, you know, just good basic information about traveling to any part of the world.
Okay.
We also use the State Department also has great alerts for not only political but also medical things that are taking place, and the CDC does. And then there are really some doctors in some areas that concentrate on vacation or travel medicine. And you know what? That's a really good thing to do. The other thing we do is we seek out and search particular insurance companies, and there's some good travel insurance companies, one we use all the time called IMG. And sometimes they have information, too. You know, because, you know, it's great to go to a place, but if you're not prepared from a health point of view, you don't want to be surprised. You don't.
Yeah. The other thing that I just mentioned, because it occurred to me when I was listening to a comedian from South Africa recently on TV, is people tend sometimes when they're thinking about going a place, say in a continent of Africa, and they hear about Ebola. We all remember what happened with Ebola last year. And they figure, oh, God, Africa, Ebola. Africa is full of Ebola. Well, that's not true. Africa, you know, is not full of Ebola. And this person was interested in going to the southern part of Africa, sub-Saharan. South Africa. South Africa has no Ebola. Most of Africa has no Ebola. There are only a few countries that have it. So be sure when you hear things that you check them out.
Check
them
out.
Before you make a final decision.
But you gave some really great resources. You mentioned the State Department, the CDC, the Northwestern University's travel office, and other university travel office if you don't live in Chicago, and travel insurance companies. So those are really great resources people can go to make sure that their dream trip actually is going to be safe and something that they can handle. I love that.
And ask your own, you know, you really should also let your own personal physician know, okay, I'm going to go to Nepal, or I'm going to, for instance, go to some place like Bolivia or even to Peru, and I'm going to be climbing 11,600, you know, altitude, mile-high things. And that way your personal physician can say, I don't think so, or if you're going to do that, do this or do that. You know what it's all about? It's communication. Really looking at the resources and then communicating with people who have the expertise to make sure you're okay when you're there.
That's so true.
I would say that that's really important. I had a couple of experiences in Bolivia, for example. I've been there three times. I don't think I'll go back again. The first time I really hadn't prepared myself for the altitude there. The largest, the highest altitude in the world for capital city is in Bolivia, La Paz. And you get the feeling of that altitude as soon as you hit the luggage place there. And I did get very woozy, and they ask you to take this tea, kind of coca tea, which does help. The second time I went, I knew I had to do the coca tea, but I had to have oxygen because it seemed to be worse on that occasion.
I want to know why you went three times if you knew all that.
Well, it was all business. I have to admit, this was not a pleasure trip. And
I wouldn't do it.
You thought the third time would be a charm, huh?
I thought the third time would be a charm because I was going to go to another part of the country. And the other part of the country, and I can't even remember the city right now, was the altitude was not as high, and I didn't have as bad a reaction, but I had to go through La Paz to get out, and I did have it.
So you know what? That really proves the point. Even though you know that there may be some areas, and even though you know you do the research, be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared. Exactly.
That's true. Always have a plan B, C, and D, especially when traveling, like you mentioned, in third world countries. They don't have the same resources that we have. So speaking of that, when you're in a different country, it sounds like y'all are adventurous. You want to eat the local food and try the local, you know, cuisines and walk around without a guide and not feel like you're a tourist. What are some safety tips you have for eating local?
Mine is, I'm the most adventuresome, I must admit, because I'll eat anything, just about anything. But I do have some criteria. Is it clean? Meaning, if it's something on the street and you can see that these are vegetables and they're meat and they're going to cook it in, you know, a hot pan full of oil, you're not going to get sick. You're not. Mm-hmm. However, if I'm in a hotel or a marginal hotel and they serve me a salad, and depending upon the country, I'm not going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is understanding where am I going, what's the local cuisine, and what are they serving. I think most of the places in Asia that I've been to, I'd eat anything off the street because the way they cook the food and it seems like it's okay. Mm-hmm. I will admit I was in Kenya once, and I love bacon. Pat will tell you I'm a big bacon eater, and I love bacon. And I was in Kenya on the road, and I was staying at this hotel. It was a hotel. A game reserve place there, and they served us bacon, and I ate it. And then someone pointed out to me, right as I was taking the last piece of my bacon, that there was a fried roach there. A roach was fried on there. So, to my way of thinking, he was dead, right?
He was cooked, I guess
fried.
You could say.
Mm-hmm. And he was fried. So do I not eat him? No, I eat him. He's dead and he's fried. So that didn't bother me.
But bacon with a side of roach.
Right. I don't think I would go there myself.
you're saying that if it's cooked, you usually feel pretty comfortable, but then there are certain countries in which you kind of avoid some of the raw fruits and vegetables. Is that what you're thinking?
And yes, and you know, I was in we were in Morocco, and I got very ill, extremely ill. Called the doctor, bad ill thing, and that wasn't caused by the food as much as it was that I brushed my teeth with the water.
Yes.
And I knew better.
That's one of the hardest parts of being in countries where you can't use the water at all. You forget. And again, you can get that information if you're about to go over there from these various resources we mentioned earlier. They can always tell. Or if you're in a nice hotel, often the hotel will be able to tell you, you know, don't drink certain things. Mm-hmm.
And most hotels in almost any part of the world today, including the United States, will give you water, bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost standard operating procedure almost anywhere in the world these days, which is a good idea.
The one thing I learned from... Go ahead.
I must admit, one of my favorite countries is India, and a lot of people say, oh my God, you'll get sick in India. We never got sick in India. We did drink bottled water, and I ate everything. We went to a local restaurant it's not called chapati, it's another bread. We ate everything, didn't we, Pat? And we didn't get sick.
We did, but I did on my first trip to India. I didn't get sick from the food, but I made a very big mistake, and that was I hired a car and a driver, and the car did not have air conditioning in it. I didn't realize that until we were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the windows down, and you breathe in a lot of things that you are not aware of breathing in it. I did get bronchitis on that trip.
Oh, no.
Because you had to have the windows down, but I should have checked that before I left. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that.
Now, speaking of food poisoning, do you ladies ever get a prescription from your doctor for an antibiotic so that in case you do get a bad case of food poisoning,
it? You know what? That's a very good question, doctor, because I am the one that has the medical kit, I'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
I have Cipro. I can't think of the name of it, but I carry Cipro. I also have an Aleve, and I have certain things that I do carry. Because when I was in Morocco, if I didn't, I did not have Cipro, and if I had, I would have not have been as ill as I was. My one of our photographers became ill in Argentina, and he had Cipro, and that's what helped him too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there are certain things that you have to, that some medications, And was with my doctor's awareness. I mean, I just didn't get buy it off the shelf.
Don't buy it off the shelf. But that's also a good point, is to take your medications, because even meds we consider take for granted here, like acetaminophen, doesn't have the same name in the UK, in London.
Yes, right.
So I always take acetaminophen, ibuprofen, any allergy medicines, just because when you're in another country, the last thing you want to look is for, you know, asking in that language, learning how to say, where is your CVS? So just carry it with you. Okay, in our last few minutes, I want to talk about, so for other people who are listening, what are some great trips that you think are fascinating, wonderful, but also doable for somebody, especially if they may be a senior as well? Give us
you
some
go
ideas.
First, Pat. But quickly,
I'm trying
Pat.
To think, and I've got a sneeze, so Regina, would you go first?
Okay, I'll go first. India. India is one of the most incredible, exotic, good, bad places, and I think if you have a bucket list, you have to go to India. Peru, the best food, the most interesting culture. They have a strong African-American, which a lot of countries don't have, but people don't know about culture that's there. And Peru is so diverse. Korea is one of my favorite places.
Okay, don't mention Croatia. All of them, Regina.
I'm going to say Croatia, and the last one I was going to say South Africa, that I go to almost every year for the last 10 years. Okay, your turn.
Well, I would start with South Africa. In fact, I would suggest that the person look at the continent of Africa. There's still this misconception among a whole lot of people that Africa is a country. Africa is a continent. I say that so much, I feel
and
like
it's a huge continent.
It's a huge continent. Right? Yes. And there's a lot to see and do, a lot of wonderful people.
Go ahead. Give her your other one. You're going.
I'd say Africa, South Africa in particular, Ghana, it's a wonderful place. I love it. I go there. I've been there as many times as I've been to South Africa, maybe more. I love Morocco. I would just say that continent right now I'd be focused on, because I don't know how much time we have left.
Okay.
South America, Pat, we do. We love South America.
Well, Brazil in particular. That's one of my favorite haunts is Brazil, true.
Yeah. Are you going to Rio for the upcoming games?
No. We wouldn't go. That would be not a good time to go.
It's going to be a little bit madness there. I agree.
Yeah, now, it would be really madness.
Yeah, and we're not in a rush. We still have about 2 minutes left. So I want to ask, for people looking for these trips, they sound amazing. Do you recommend using a tour guide full as yourselves? And how do they find a good one?
You know what? I recommend that you go with a reputable tour company. You know, someone like Talk, someone like Friendly Planet, because they have smaller groups. You're not with a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And I also recommend that you can go by yourself. Pat's traveled by yourself. That you do a lot of research before you do that. When we travel, we do go with guides because we're mainly invited by the particular country, and they have a specific guide that takes us all around, like Croatia. But you could go to Croatia by yourself, buy a tour before you go, and then be able to, you know, be able to have someone take you around. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I would just add to that. There are many places around the world that are exciting, that are accessible, and there are a few places in the world right now, as we all know, that are having some difficulties, political, military, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And one should be aware of what is happening in particularly the Middle East right now. But, you know, we have decided this year and maybe in the years to come that we will look at a focus on the United States. And we in the past have taken people with us to a couple of places abroad, in India and Egypt, to be exact. But we're looking at the Mississippi River.
Nice.
Next year, which we took a wonderful steamboat trip and enjoyed it so much that we thought.
I don't want to know about that trip yet. She has another question for us. Don't go on.
That sounds awesome. No, and we're going to have to wrap up. But you made a really great point, is because we have some really great destinations here in our own backyard in the U.S. too. So it's worth always looking at that too and making sure you take advantage of that there. Regina and Pat, this was awesome. I loved it. Again, everyone can find them on their YouTube channel, grannysonsafari.com, at their Huffington Post blog as well, huffingtonpost.com/news/grannysonsafari. And they're also at ShareCare.com, where you can see more of their adventures. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and travel well.